Okay, we're beginning here, seven lines down on the top of Daled Amud Aleph. Gemara is discussing, according to Rabbah, who is the author of our Mishnah. Because Rabbah requires Bifanai Nichtav Bifanai Nechtam, because they were Lo Biki'im Bilishma. They weren't experts at knowing that you have to do things Bishma. The fact that you have to say both Bifanai Nichtav Bifanai Nechtam indicates that you need both Lishma for the Ktiva itself, the writing of the get itself, as well as Chatimat Get, as well as the signing of the get. And seemingly we can't find an author that has that opinion, because Rabbi Meir requires Chatima Lishma and Rabbi Elazar requires Ktiva Lishma, but neither of them requires both items to be Lishma. So the Gemara was searching, trying to understand how is it possible that we have such an authorship. The Gemara concluded with the fact that it was Rabbi Elazar, and the difference was whether the Edim signed or didn't sign at all. Meaning that if there are no Edim signed on it, then Rabbi Elazar is fine with Edim Misira Karte. He's fine with the fact that the witnessing Edim make it into a valid get. On the other hand, if they once they sign on the get, then they have to follow all the prescriptions of what a proper signature is. The question as to why that is, Tosafot thinks that it's a gzerah, because if the Edim don't sign Lishma, then we have to worry about the fact whether the whole get was written Lishma. And so therefore, making sure that they sign the Shema will also guarantee that the whole get was written in the Shema. On the other hand, the Rif and those that follow his Shita believes that once you have to use the Etei Chatimah, according to Rabbi Elazar, they have to be done properly. And since they have to be done properly, that includes a Lishma aspect to it. So that was the conclusion of the Gemara, that Rabbi Elazar must be the author of the Mishnah, according to Rabbah. All right, now Rav Ashi proposes an alternate, which is much easier. Vashimar Hamani Rabbi Yehudai. The author of the Mishnah is a third party, not either the Tanaim that we've been discussing until now, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, but rather Rabbi Yehudah. That's not. Rabbi Yehudah posel ad sheyei ktivato b'chatimato b'talush. He says it's posel until you write it and you sign it when it is already severed, not mechubar. So now the requirement of talush, we've noted in the introduction, we spoke about it yesterday, that there is a requirement that the get be only missing nitina. That the only thing after the writing of the get that you need to do is give it to the woman. If you have to take any other action to the get, then it's a pasul get. So for instance, if it is mechubar lekarka, it's written on a tree, and then you have to sever the tree and then give it to the woman, that does not work. So that is what's called mechubar. Talush means, or is indicative of the fact that it has to be done properly. We already saw yesterday a mishnah that says, in kotvim b'mechubar lekarka, you're not allowed to write a get with something that's attached to the ground. Ketavo ala mechubar lekarka telasho chatamo benetanola kasher. And he gives it to her, it's kasher. If it was written on the tree and then was severed and then signed, it was okay. It's a machloket we saw yesterday within the Amoraim as to who the author of that Mishnah is. Our Gemara yesterday assumed it was Rabbi Meir who was the author of the Mishnah, implying that the ktiva can be done while it's mechubar, because ktiva doesn't need to be lishma for Rabbi Meir. And then after you sever it, you sign it, Lishma, everything's good according to Rabbi Meir. There are another set of Amoraim who believe that that Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Elazar. That's Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan believe that. And they say that when it means, the Chatima here was the Toref. Chatima doesn't mean the signatures, but rather the core elements of the get. And that has to be written Lishma. And written Lishma according to Rabbi Elazar means that the actual writing of the get has to be done where it's done properly. That means Bitalush. So talush is indicative of a requirement to do things lishma. Because as long as you do not require lishma, it can be mechubar. Because that means it's not an essential part of the get. Like for Rabbi Meir, you can write the whole get while it's attached, sever it, and then sign it afterwards. Because the only thing that matters for him is the signatures be lishma. So if you say that everything must be done bitalush, that's indicative of the fact that you believe everything must be done lishma. Otherwise, you could do it b'mechubar. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda over here says that both the ktiva and the chatima are done b'talush is indicative that he requires lishma both in the ktiva and in the chatima. So now that would be a solution to our problem. Who's the author of our Mishnah who believes you need both ktiva and chatima lishma? It is Rabbi Yehuda. Now Tosafot points out that's not such a great proof, because by definition, if you write it b'talush, you're going to sign it b'talush. So it might be that the only thing that Rabbi Yehuda requires is that you write it bitalush. By definition, if you write it bitalush, it's also going to be signed bitalush. So Tosfot says over here, Yesh Lomar, the Mishkacha Lashakantevo Alilan Talush, he wrote it on a tree that was already Ne'akar, uprooted, V'charkach Nat'o, V'ishrish, V'chatamo. So that they wrote it on a tree that was already uprooted, so that was Talush. Then they replant the tree, and it roots, and then they go to sign it. So now it would be signing it B'mechubar. So there is a way to create a scenario in which it would be Talush for the Ktiva, but yes, yet Mechubar for the Chatima, and therefore there is significance to review the statement that it is Talush, both in the Ktiva and the Chatima, implying that he believes you need Lishma for both of those aspects. So Gemara asks off his question is, Mikara, my time alo mukmini laka Rabbi Yehuda. So then why didn't we just go to Rabbi Yehuda straight away? It's very clear that Rabbi Yehuda has this opinion. It'd been much easier to skip all the discussion about Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar's opinions and trying to squeeze them into the Mishnah and just go to Rabbi Yehuda, which is a very simple answer. Question of whether the Gemara is saying this stam, or this is Rav Ashi himself explaining why he believes that he is right in saying this, but either way, it tells you the difficulty in using Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, and that is, Mehadrina and Rabbi Meir, we tried to establish that Rabbi Meir was the author of the Mishnah, the Stam Matnitin Rabbi Meir. We have a principle in general that Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and therefore it would make a lot of sense that Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah over here. So therefore it would give us added impetus to make Rabbi Meir the author of the Mishnah. Mehadrina and Rabbi Elazar, we also tried to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Elazar, the Kaimelon Hilchata Kavatei B'Gitin. Because Allah is like Rabbi Elazar with regards to Gitin, that Eide Mesira Karte. So therefore, if the halacha is like him, we'd rather he be the author of the Mishnah, because then the Mishnah will be Aliba Tehilchata. So therefore, there's an impetus to set it out like Rabbi Meir, there's an impetus to set it out like Rabbi Elazar, and that's why the Gemara went through all that trouble. Now, this could be explaining what Rav Ashi is saying. Despite that fact that there are reasons to say it's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir, Rav Ashi will still say, I still think that Rabbi Yehuda is a better solution because you are bedochak, explaining it according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. A simple way to explain it is Rabbi Yehuda, and despite the benefits of explaining it like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir, I'd rather explain it like Rabbi Yehuda, or it's the Gemara explaining why they didn't go that direction, and only Rav Ashi said Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara says we wanted to try to make it Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, because there's a benefit to having it Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, an added benefit, which is Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, or Halacha Liba de Rabbi Elazar. Now, in terms of Halacha ka Rabbi Elazar, this has major implications. There is a Tosafot over here. The Tosafot makes 2 points, both of which the Rif argues on, and that creates a huge machloket, which has tremendous ramifications. The first thing the Balei Tosafot say here on the bottom is, Mishum demari hacha begitin naka gitin. When the Gemara here says, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar begitin, you would assume that means, halacha is like him in gitin, but not in other places. What is Rabbi Elazar's position? Eide Mesira Karte. The witnessing Eidim create the Kiyum Hashtar, or the Kiyum Aget. The Gemara here says the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar by Gitin, implying that that's true by Gitin, not true by other Shtarot, by other contracts. Tosafot says don't read it that way. Aval Halacha Kimoto Af Bishar Shtarot. The Halacha is like him across the board. The reason the Gemara here mentions Gitin is because it's topical. We're in Masechet Gitin. We're discussing Gitin, so it says, Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar b'Gitin. That's what the Mishnah is speaking about. Not to tell you that Gitin, yes, Shtarot, no, but simply to tell you, in this context, the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, but so too, like everyone else. And then he says, Afagav, t'chol amurai l'kaman, savrei k'Rabbi Elazar. Even though all the Amoraim further on in the Masechta, and Daf Vav, hold, like Rabbi Elazar, dafka b'Gitin, only by get, Kaimalan Kishmuel Bidine, we hold like Shmuel, the Polig Lekaman, who argues there, Adarav Amar Af Bishtarot. So Shmuel, because we pass like Shmuel Bidinim, and Shmuel goes against all the other Amoraim and says that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, not only by Gitim, but by Shtarot. Therefore, Balei Tosfot believe that we pass can like him across the board. Oh, he also brings an additional proof is he's a mashma de Rabbi Yosef Abai, Dava Bachrai, Savri Rabbi Elazar. Also, he points out that in another place we see that Abai and Rabbi Yosef, who are challenging this position of Rabbi Elazar and how it fits in, seemingly are holding like Rabbi Elazar both in Gitin and in Shtarot. Then he says here, V'lefikach, tzarech shli zeher she'edei misira b'shat netinat get. You have to make sure then that there are edei misira there when you hand over the get. De'inu karte, they're the ones who make it into a get, they're the ones who give it a kiyum in the get. According According to that, according to Rabbi Lazar, if there are no Ede Mesira there, there is no Gerushin. Afagav de'ika Ede Chatima. Here's the next Kiddush of Tosafot. Even if there are signatories to the get, that doesn't help you unless you have Ede Mesira. What Tosafot says is, Rabbi Lazar believes Ede Mesira karte, Ede Chatima lo karte. They don't work at all. And as we saw yesterday, the only reason you have signatories to the get is mipnei tikkun olam. Is to help for evidence later on if we need to verify or validate the get, we can use the Ede Chatima. But not that they are the ones that make it into get or give it a kiyum a get. Tosafot says that there's a machloket ekroni between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar believes Ede Mesira Karte and only Ede Mesira Karte. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir believes Ede Chatima Karte and only Ede Chatima. Their positions do not overlap whatsoever. The only reason they have Ede Chatima there is as a shtar raya, meaning that they serve as a proof, not as a kiyum get, so that if the Ede Mesira die, then we can check out their signatures, we can verify the signatures. Oh, yochud lehem lemedinat hayam, they travel overseas. Shetinaseh adei Ede Chatima. Demistama behechsher naaseh. So then we can use Ede Chatima. If there's no challenge to the get, we assume the get is a valid document with the Ede Chatima. In addition, even if there are questions, we can verify the signatures of the Edim, even if they're not around, even if they're not alive. So again, it's possible that even the Ede Mesira sign as the Ede Chatima, it still gives us more benefit. First of all, the Stam Get will be assumed to be kosher. Number two is, even if the Ede Mesira disappear, their signatures are still on the document and we can verify them. But that's all that they're for. It's all about Shtar Raya, that's all the signatures are there for. The Ede Chatima can be the Ede Mesira, or they can be totally separate Edim, and they're the only ones who sign on the document. The Ede Mesira are just there to witness, to make it into a get, and the Ede Chatima are verifying or validating the fact that that took place, that something like this took place, that they saw, or they, the Ede Mesira were there to witness the document given from the husband to the wife. It doesn't matter whose signature is on there, as long as we can verify it. Their signature, then it's a valid get, because their signature means that they're validating the get. Then it says, "Va'od Ragio Rabbeinu Tam Lomar, Dafilu Rabbi Meir Bayedim, Shbishat Netinat the Get." He says that not only would Rabbi Lazar require, even Rabbi Meir agrees that you need Edim at the time of the get, Dein Davar Shbeerva Pachot Mishtayim, because you need to do any Davar Beerva has to be no less than two. Bechein Shtar Matanat Karko, Shtar Mecher. Any star which is not a star of evidence, but rather a star of kiyum or kinyan, where it's functioning as the key element in the transaction. According to Rabbi Lazar, if there are no Ede Mesira, it doesn't work at all. Then Tosafot says, maybe by monetary matters we could differentiate and say that even Rabbi Lazar might agree in that case, because Hodat Baldin Kamei Edim Sagi Badei Chetima B'Makom Hodat Baldin. Because the document itself is basically an admission by, let's say, the debtor or the seller of the property that he did this. And so his admission is the equivalent of Mei Edim. And so maybe you don't need Edim Misir over there to create the Kinyan, because by the mere fact that the seller acknowledges in this document that he did such a thing, and then we have signatories to it, it's the equivalent of getting an admission from him. It's the equivalent of the debtor coming on and saying, yes, I did borrow the money. So it doesn't matter that there were no Ede Mesira at the time, or there was nobody there, but rather, it's just a document that says that this individual admitted to whatever happened here. That's enough evidence to bring it to the court and enforce it, just if he is an admission document, even if it was not a document of Kinyan. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests possibly that you could be mechalek in this case between those two issues, between get and between mamon. But fundamentally, Tosafot believes, number one, that the halachas like Rabbi Lazar are across the board in Gitin and in regular shtarot. Number two is Ede Mesira Karte and Ede Mesira alone are Karte, and Ede Chatima don't help you whatsoever. He even suggests, according to Rabbi Meir, you need Ede Mesira by get because of in Devar Ever Pachot Mishnayim. Now, of course, they could be the Ede Chatima for Rabbi Meir, but you still need Ede Mesira according to him. And then he gives a slight out, which is that maybe we could differentiate between Gitin and Shtarot, where there'll be a difference for Rabbi Lazar, because by Mamon or Shtarot, There you have Hodat Baldin as well, and maybe you don't need the Eidei Mesira, and Eidei Chetima will suffice because you have a document of admission. The other hand, the Rif argues on both of these points. The Rif is found in the Dapei Arif, Daf Mem Zayin, and over there he brings down the Machloket that is found on Pei Vav as to whether the Lacha is like Rabbi Lazar Begitin or Beshtarot. And then he says, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Alacha Rabbi Lazar Begitin, the Hilchata Rabbi Lazar Begitin. The Rif concludes, the Lacha is like Rabbi Lazar, solely Begitin, not Beshtarot. So that's the first point on which he argues with Tosafot, that the Lacha is only like Rabbi Lazar Begitin, it does not apply to Shtarot, as opposed to Tosafot, who just said that when we say Alocha Begitin, it's only because it's topically relevant. But Alocha is like him even by Shtarot. The Rif disagrees and says Alocha is only like Rabbi Lazar Begitin. That's number one. Now, he could be arguing either because he argues fundamentally and believes that Alocha is just not like Rabbi Lazar by Shtarot, or he could be taking up the same position that the Balei Tosafot brought in the end, which is even if the Alocha is like Rabbi Lazar by Begitin and Shtarot, it doesn't have any nafkamina by Shtarot, because even Eidei Chatima by Shtarot would suffice. That would be possible, except for the fact that the next thing that the Rif says, which is he argues on Tosfot on another point. Umiha namish ma'inan. Delo be'inan Eidei Misira, hecha de'idka Eidei Chatima. He concludes that you don't need Eidei Misira in a place where you have Eidei Chatima. And then he goes on to prove this point, which means, and this is a very fundamental and huge nafkamina in this argument with Tosafot. Tosafot said, according to Rabbi Lazar, there's only one way to create a get, and Ibn Ashtar, which is through Eidei Mesira for Rabbi Lazar. What the Rif says is that's not the case. What Rabbi Lazar really means is, af be'Eidei Mesira. He says that if you use Eidei Chatima, he agrees with Rabbi Meir, Eidei Chatima work as well. Why do you have then Eidei Mesira? He's saying that Eidei Mesira can also work. You have two possibilities of how to execute on a get or to be Mikayim the get. One is Eidei Chatima. The other one is Eidei Mesira. And both are available to you according to Rabbi Elazar. And that's what the Rif says against the Balei Tosafot who say that Rabbi Elazar requires Eidei Mesira. Eidei Chatima do nothing according to Rabbi Elazar. The Tosafot really relies on yesterday's Gemara, where we said the whole reason for Eidei Chatima is Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So that's according to Rabbi Elazar. Eidei Mesira are the key element. Eidei Chatima are just Tikkun Olam. Now, what the Rif can argue when I say is, that was speaking in a case where they had Eidei Mesira. In Ochanami, Rabbi Elazar agrees, when you have Eidei Mesira, those suffice. Then why sign even when you have Eidei Mesira? That's Mipnei Tikkun Olam. That's what the Rif could argue. But not to say that Eidei Chatima alone would not work. It's very possible that they would work by themselves also. It's just in this case, he happened to have Eidei Mesira first. And the Rif actually turns that phrase into a proof for himself, because he says, what's the Tikkun Olam? If you believe that the Eidei Chatima are not sufficient, then why does having signatories on the get necessarily help you or prove to the fact that there were Eidei Mesira? There's nothing within the get or within their signatures that evidence the fact that there were Eidei Mesira. So then why is that a Tikkun Olam? It'll actually lead to a churva. Now, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, a Talmud of the Rif, actually argues on his Rebbe and says, no, the other way around. That is the Chazaka. The Chazaka is that Eidei Chatima, that sign on a get, they're doing so knowing that there were Eidei Mesira there. And therefore, when they sign, they're signing to the complete validity of the get and the giving it in front of Eidei Mesira. And the Ran, on that Rabbeinu Ephraim, says, well, don't nihira. Why is that true? He says, does every husband divorce his wife in Beit Din? Does every Am Haaretz know that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, that you need Eidei Mesira? And we know that the Eidim can sign on the get even before the husband gives the get to his wife. So then, how is there any proof from the signatures on the document that there were Eidei Mesira? So the Rif turns this Mipnei Tikkun Olam into a proof to his position, rather than being a question on his position. Now, it works well with what we ended off with in yesterday's daf, reads well according to the Rif. Because the Gemara there said that even for Rabbi Elazar, Mizuyach Mitocho, if the document is proven to be false internally, then even Rabbi Elazar agrees that it's problematic. So for instance, if you have Krovim that signed the document, even though they're not necessary, if they sign the document, it ruins the document. So now, Tosafot was asking, what does this have to do with Mizuyach Mitocho? Lishma is not something that is essential to the Eidei Chatima. Rabbi Elazar only requires that the ketiva be lishma, and then you have Eidei Mesira, the fact that the Eidim sign, whether it's lishma or not lishma, you don't even know, and it shouldn't ruin the document. So Tosafot has to come up with the answer that it's a gzeira atu, that we want the signatures to be lishma, so the ketiva is also lishma, and so they don't make a mistake. But for the Rif, it's an ekroni halacha. Why? Because for Rabbi Elazar, Eidei Chatima can also work. Not only do Eidei Mesira work, also Eidei Chatima work. And if there is a failure in Eidei Chatima, that's Mizuyak Mitocho. Because Rabbi Elazar agrees that if you just had Eidei Chatima, it would work in the case of a get. Because he gives you either alternative. Either Eidei Mesira or Eidei Chatima. So here is a very, very fundamental machok between the Balei HaTosafot and the Rif. And two levels. One is the halacha like Rabbi Elazar only by Gitin, that's the Shita the Rif, or also by other Shtarot, which is the Shita the Tosafot. And the second issue, which is whether Rabbi Elazar only allows Eidei Mesira, which is the Balei HaTosafot, or he's giving you an option. Either Eidei Chatima or Eidei Mesira. He agrees with Rabbi Meir, Eidei Chatima would work. Just gives you an alternate path, which is Eidei Mesira. That is the Shita of the Rif, which is the way that the Ramban explains the Rif. While there are still other Rishonim that explain, like the Rif, that Eidei Chatima would work for Rabbi Elazar, but that's because they believe that the Eidei Chatima also function as the Eidei Mesira. Because when they sign on the document, they know that this document is going to be given as a get to the woman. So even though they don't necessarily witness it themselves, the fact that they're signing it with the intent of the husband to do such, and the husband intends to do it, if it ends up in the wife's hands, then they, in essence, become the Eidei Mesira. The Ran himself suggests that when it comes to Shtarot Mamon, that both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir agree that you need Eidei Chatima in the Shtar, because the nature of a Shtar is not only a Shtar Kinyan, but as a Shtar Raya. And as we're going to see later on in the Masechta, they quote the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Laman Yamdu Yamim Rabim, that it has to last a long time. And the only way that the shtar will last a long time is it has Eidei Chatima on it. And therefore, everybody agrees you need Eidei Chatima on the shtar. The only question is, what is Mehaveh, what creates the Kinyan shtar? Is it the Eidei Mesira or the Eidei Chatima? And therefore, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar do not disagree that they need Eidei Chatima and you need the Eidei Mesira. And in truth, the Eidei Chatima are the Eidei Mesira, because Rabbi Meir thinks the Chatima itself is what creates the Chaluta Kinyan. Whereas Rabbi Elazar believes that Eidei Chatima, acting also as Eidei Mesira, create the Chalut Ashtar. And therefore, the only nafka mina between the Shitot, according to the Ran, is if you have two identical Shtarot that were signed at the same time, but their Mesira was done at a different time. According to Rabbi Meir, since they were signed at the same time, they have the same dating and same time, no one has precedence over the other. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, since the Mesira happened at different times, even though they were signed at the same time, the Mesira is koveya that one shtar happened before the other, and therefore it will take precedence. And so here you have these both of these machlokot, which obviously have ramifications, la'alacha, both by Gitin, as well as other shtarot. The Rishonim afterwards line up on different sides along the lines of either the Balei HaTosafot or the Rif, and throughout the Masechta we'll see that there are proofs to both positions, meaning that sometimes the Gemara seems to lean more favorably towards what Tosafot is saying. Sometimes it seems to lean more favorably towards what the Rif is saying. We'll try to point them out. We noted yesterday twice we had that option with Mipnei Tikkun Olam about the signatures as well as Mizuyak Mitocho. The Mipnei Tikkun Olam seems to support the Balei HaTosafot, and Mizuyak Mitocho seems to support more likely the Shita Ta Rif. To be honest, the Gemara said yesterday, V'chilo bai Rabbi Elazar Chatima Lishma Midoraita. It says clearly that Rabbi Elazar does not require a Chatima Lishma. That's Min HaTorah. Making it sound like that according to Rabbi Elazar, Chatima is not even a relevant factor whatsoever. According to the Rif, Chatima does need to be Lishma if that's going to be the vehicle by which you use to create the get. So how can the Mara make a statement that according to Rabbi Elazar across the board, there is no such thing as Chatima Lishma? That's not true. If you use Chatima according to the Rif, it would have to be Lishma. And so that's statement of the Gemara seems to very much support the Balei HaTosafot. The Ramban, in defending the Rif over there, suggests that the Gemara's question is this way. If you only use Eidei Mesira, then this would be the scenario. Not saying that that's the only method for Rabbi Elazar, but rather, given the fact, and based on the circumstances in the case, it seems like the case is a case of Eidei Mesira, This would be the conclusion in Rabbi Elazar's Shita. It's definitely not midoraita that you require lishma if you have Eidei Mesira, but not to indicate that that's the only way that Rabbi Elazar would work. Again, that favors the Balei HaTosafot. So Gimel Amud Bet seems to favor the Balei HaTosafot. Here on Daled Amud Aleph, it seems to favor the Shita of the Rif. Now, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah and discusses the alternate opinions in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had the position of the Tanakama, then the position of Rabban Gamliel, then the position of Rabbi Eliezer, and then the position of the Chachamim. What the Gemara here wants to understand is, what's the difference between these opinions? You have the Tanakama saying that he has to say, Bifanai nechta, Bifanai nechtam. Then you have Rabbi Gamliel say, Avar mevi min arekem min acheger. What is he adding? Rabbi Elazar Meir says, Afilu mikfar ludim lelod. And then we have the Chachamim coming back and say, Inu tzarich. You don't have to say it except for Malich umevi mevi dinat hayam. So now, what is the difference between these opinions? Gemara says, Tan, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Afilu mevi min arekem min acheger. Rabbi Elazar Meir, Afilu mikfar ludim lelod. Ve'amar Abaye, Bayarot asmuchot le'eretz Yisrael umuvlaot b'tchum eretz Yisrael askinan. So Abai explains that what we're speaking about here, or the difference in opinion between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, are about cities that are adjacent to the border and even incorporated in the border, but are over the line in the border. So now there's two ways to explain that. Rashi explains it that the borders, if you were to set up just an imaginary, you have two circles that represent cities. And those cities, as described in the Torah or described in Sefer Yoshua, are border cities. So then the border would be basically a straight line between those two cities. So if you think about two circles, and you take the middle, the center of those circles, and draw a line from center to center, then that line is the border. And so now you could have cities that are over the borderline, they're outside of Eretz Yisrael, but still are parallel with these cities, because the circles extend beyond the line that you drew. Now, if you drew the line from the outer edge of the circles, then you wouldn't have this phenomenon. But if you draw the line from the middle of the city to the middle of the city, then the borderline runs in such a way that the cities really stick out of the border, or that the border doesn't write straight. And so what Rashi says, you have this possibility. Along this straight line, adjacent to it, are cities that are outside the border. Yet, if you look at them on a parallel basis, they are still in line with these other cities, because these other cities protrude out of the border. So that's how Rashi calls these cities that are outside the border, but muvlaot. The other possibility is that, literally, these are cities that are incorporated. They are surrounded on all sides, either by the border, or they are surrounded by another city. And despite the fact that they're over the border, or outside of Eretz Yisrael, they could be surrounded on two sides or three sides by Eretz Yisrael. We have the phenomenon today along borders, or even with dividing lines, which is when you're trying to incorporate a part of a city or part of something, the borders are not exactly straight. They go out to incorporate certain things. And that means that you could have these unusual circumstances where something's over the border, yet it's incorporated on three sides, it's touched by the border, because it sits as a protrusion into the border. So that's the other possibility as to what muvlaot mean. And still others explain that muvlaot means that they're incorporated within the tchum of the other city, or tchum of a city that's inside of Eretz Yisrael. Similar to Kfar Ludim, to Lod, which is in the tchum of Lod, was found Kfar Ludim. So Abaye suggests that the difference between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer is about these types of cities. I saw this city, Kfar Ludim in Lod. They were very close by. It was like the distance between Bei Kobe and Pumpedita. So that the reason it's called Kfar Ludim and it's adjacent to Lod is not because the people of Lod went out and settled a new village somewhere, and that's why they were from Lod, so they called it Kfar Ludim, but rather they are physically close together. And that's why they're called Kfar Ludim, and that's the point that's been made by Rabbi Bar Chana over here, which is that these cities are very proximate to each other. Michlal. From this, we would conclude, the Tanakama Savar Hani Lo Tzarich, that these areas do not require you to say, Bifanai Nechtav, Ufanai Nechtam. So, Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer both believe that these areas require you to say, Bifanai Nechtav, Ufanai Nechtam, implying that the Tanakama would disagree and say that you do not need to say it in those cases. Why is that? What's the difference between them? By the way, just as an aside, this makes Tosafot's explanation in the Mishnah a little difficult. We discussed in the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah use the term Medinat Hayam and not Chutz La'aretz? So Tosafot suggested maybe there's a difference between Medinat Hayam, which are faraway places, and Chutz La'aretz, which are areas just outside the border. But you see from here that the Gemara is going to use the term Medinat Hayam to describe even these areas that are approximate right on the border, which somewhat undermines that position of the Balei HaTosafot. And so we said before, Rashi's view is that Chutz La'aretz and Medinat Hayam are synonymous. The only reason we didn't use Chutz La'aretz is because Bavel is accepted from the rule. So they use Medinat Hayam to show anything outside the borders of Israel, with the exception of Bavel. That's why I didn't use the term Chutz La'aretz. Others suggest that Medinat Hayam is used because on the western side of Eretz Yisrael, the Yam is the border, the Mediterranean Sea is the border, and only things that are there would be out in the Yam, Medinat Hayam. They would not be close by. There's nothing proximate on the western border. The closest things are islands in the Mediterranean Sea. And so therefore, they use the term Medinat Hayam because of the western border. No matter what the explanation is, again, the explanation favors the other opinions vis-a-vis the Tosafot, because over here, it calls these items that are immediately outside the border as Medinat Hayam. My love, Bahaika Miflege. Let us say that the Machloket in our Mishnah is a Machloket Tanaim that parallels the Machloket Amoraim that we're seeing between Rabba and Rova. The Mar Saver Lefisha Ein Bikin Lishma. One of them holds that the issue here is whether you're Bikin Lishma or not. V'hanei Gemirei. And those that are proximate to Eretz Yisrael, they are influenced and they learn because they are adjacent to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there's no problem with bringing in them, the Tana Kama says, from these areas. Umar Savar, whereas Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer believe, the Fishein Adi Mitzuim the Kaimol. From those areas, there's no free flow of traffic. That you don't have easy access between the two locations, and therefore, even though they're adjacent, but because they're on the border, means that there's not going to be an easy flow of people between them. And therefore, you can't bring it without saying, Bifanai Nechtab, Bifanai Nechtam. So let us suggest that the Mishnah, the reason for the difference in opinion between the Tana Kama and the other Tanaim, has to do with the reason for saying B'fanai Nechtam B'fanai Nechtam. The reason, according to the Tana Kama, is Lishma, like Rabbah. And that's why even these cities that are outside the border but proximate to Eretz Yisrael, they don't need to say B'fanai Nechtam B'fanai Nechtam. On the other hand, for the Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elezer, even these adjacent cities have to say it because it's all about traffic flow. It's all about a deem that can be easily verified. And since they're over the border, they are in a different area, and there's no easy flow between them, and therefore, you have to even say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, when you bring it from these close, proximate cities. So Gemara says, lo, Rabba mitaritz the tamei, v'rova mitaritz the tamei. Gemara says, no, that's not the way to explain it, but Rabba and Rova can each explain all the Tanaim in the Mishnah according to their opinion. Rabba mitaritz the tamei, dekuli alma, lefish, ein biki, and lishma. Rabba answers, according to his reasoning, that everybody believes that the reason here is Lishma. V'hocha b'haka miflege. This is the argument. Tanakama savarhani came into smuchot migmar gemirei, that these ones that are proximate or adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, they definitely were influenced by Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they know the halachot, and they have access to the yeshivot and to the batei dinim, therefore they know the dinim of Lishma. V'hatar rabban gamlil meimar muvlaot gemirei, smuchot lo gemirei. Gamliel says, those that are adjacent definitely didn't learn. If they're smuchot, they didn't learn. But if they were muvlaot, if they were incorporated on all sides, according to one day, according to Rashi, they are outside the border, but they're along the lines of the other cities that make up the border, then they did learn. Rabbi Eliezer, the Meimar muvlaot namilo. Rabbi Eliezer says, even those that are not inside the border, but are incorporated somehow inside the border, they also didn't learn. Shalo tachlok b'medinat hayam. Because we should not make any distinctions. Meaning, Rabbi Elazar's opinion then is the most understood, which is, there's a line. And the line defines. Now, even though maybe there are people learnt outside, or maybe there are cities outside that learned, but we have to create a line somewhere. And so the line is the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't matter what your status is on the other side, whether you are adjacent to the border, whether you are muvla in the border. None of that matters, according to Rabbi Elazar. The line is the line. According to Rabbi Gamliel, it matters if you are muvla, if you're incorporated somehow because you're encompassed by the border on numerous sides or within the extent of the cities, then you're also included. Whereas the Tana Kama believes that all those cities are included because they're all adjacent to Eretz Yisrael. So in essence, what Rabba is saying is that there's a machloket here in the Mitziyut, according to the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Gamliel. Tanakhama believes all those cities that are adjacent to the border learned, and therefore there's no problem with Lishma there. Whereas, according to Rabbi Gamliel, no, those cities do not have that status. The cities that are muvlot do, but not those cities, which means it's a machloket Mitziyut, whether those cities actually learned or knew the information or not. Which generally we will not have in the Gemara machloket Mitziyut, because just go and check. If you go and check, then you'll know the information. You don't have a machloket about fact, because facts can be verified. So what you have to suggest over here is that the argument is about how or when the takana went into place to set this up. Which is, when the takana went into place, what did the borders look like, and what was the status? And so their machloket might have to do with whether the takana was a later takana where these cities were already there, and they were over the border, but they were connected to Eretz Yisrael. Or the takana was put in place and these cities were developed or grew afterwards. And so they were later than the takana. So that might be their machlok. It might be about the timing of the takana rather than to the extent of the takana. Who knows or doesn't know? Then Rabbi mitarets the tamei. Rabbi answers according to him, the kuli amah, the fi shein edim mitzuyim lekaimo. The whole thing has to do with the flow of edim, the ability to get easy access to the edim. Tanakama saver hainen came into smuchot, mishkach shkiche. Since they're near the border, there's a heavy flow of traffic over there. And so, it doesn't matter that they're over the border, but it's easy access, and therefore, they don't need to say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. But, when they are within the border of Eretz Yisrael, or within the borders of other cities, they're over the border line, but within the borders that surround them, so therefore there's free flow of traffic. Smuchot, but if they're just adjacent or close by, then there's not a heavy flow of traffic. Even those cases where you have a border on three sides of the city, or it's within the city limits of the other two border cities, that's not there. In order that there should be no distinction. I mean, the way that Balei Tosfot say it is, Rabbi Elazar doesn't fundamentally disagree. He thinks there is flow of traffic between those areas. Or he does believe they were gemirei, just simply he doesn't want any differentiation. He wants a standard halacha, and he wants there to be clear delineated lines. And that is between the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And that's it. You can't make exceptions. Once you make exceptions, the whole game is going to fall apart, because then nobody's going to know where the real border line is or where the end point is. So that's the Gemara says, that we do not have to say that our Mishnah is a machloket that reflects the machloket between Rabba and Rava, because each one of them could explain the whole Mishnah according to their opinion. So Tanan, Chamim omrim, Einu tzarich shiomar b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtav, ela mevi mibedinat hayam, v'amolich, and someone who takes it out. Michlal, the Tanakama saver molich, lo. So from here, it seems that the Chachamim who came and say something are differentiating themselves from the Tanakama. The Tanakama says you only have to do it if you're a mevi, if you bring a get from Midinat Hayam, but not if you take it out to Midinat Hayam. Whereas the Chachamim say both HaMevi veHaMolich. They mention both actions. So Gemara suggests over here, Mayala b'HaKamiflage. Maybe that's exactly their machloket. Because if you think about it, what's the difference between Rava and Rava in this case? According to Rava, who says it's all about access to Edim, it should not matter whether you're carrying from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, or from Eretz Yisrael outside of Eretz Yisrael. Either way, you're going to have a lack of access to Edim because they're far away. Doesn't mention which direction you're going in. So the Chachamim hold like Rava, maybe. And the Tanakamu says the only thing that matters is coming from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. He'll hold the issue is Lishma. So when you're coming from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, then you need Lishma. You need B'fanai Nechtav, B'fanai Nechtam. When you're going from Eretz Yisrael where there are Bikiim and Lishma, you don't need to say it when you go out to Medinat Hayam. So the Tanakamu will hold like Rabo, that it's all about Lishma. The Chachamim will hold like Rova, that it's all about access to the Edim. And that will explain the Machloket between them. And therefore, we can say again, the machloket Amoraim here is now reflected in a machloket Tanaim in the Mishnah. So that's what the Gemara says. My laba kamifik gemar saravafi she'en bikin lishma v'hanei gemirei umar saravafi she'en edim mitzuyim l'kaimo v'hanei nami lo shchichi. It doesn't matter which direction you're going in. So Gemara again says, no, Rabba mitaritz l'tamei v'rabba mitaritz l'tamei. Now, Rabba and Rava can make the whole Mishnah follow their opinion, and that does not have to be the machloket. Rabba mitaritz l'tamei dukuli ama l'fi she'en gein bikin lishma. Everybody agrees the issue in the Mishnah is Lishma, which would mean that only coming into Eretz Yisrael from outside places should be a problem. Going from Eretz Yisrael out should not be an issue because they are Bikim Lishma. So then why do the Chachamim disagree? So the Tanakhama makes sense. He only requires it when you bring it from Medinat Hayam. But the Chachamim, what is their situation? It's a question, are we gozer taking out of Eretz Yisrael for bringing into Eretz Yisrael? The Tanakhama Sabra lo gazrina. Tanakhama says we don't make such a gzera, and understandably so, because the whole institution is already a gzera. So now if you put another gzera on top of that, it's a gzera li gzera. Because the whole gzera was about lishma from coming from Medina Tayam. Now you want to add another gzera to say that when you go from Eretz Yisrael to outside, because maybe you'll come from outside to Eretz Yisrael, that's already a gzera li gzera. So therefore, he is lo gazrina molich atu mevi. Rabbanon batrai sabre, but the Rabbanon, the Chachamim believe, gazrina molich atu mevi. That they are gozer, taking it out of Eretz Yisrael for bringing it into Eretz Yisrael. Now again, you could ask gzera the gzera, so what you have to say for the Chachamim is gzera achapi, that it's one big gzera, that the whole gzera is to institute that lishma should work. So now, the only way to make sure that it happens is sometimes you have to be gozer on people where it's not a problem in order to enforce the entire gzera. So that means that if they just said, oh, when they come from the Nata Ayam to Eretz Yisrael, then you have to say it. Then it wouldn't work, because people would think, oh, why when I go this way, when I go that way? People say, oh, if you go out of Eretz Yisrael to a far place, you don't have to say it, so maybe the same would be true the other way around. So in order to make the gzera consistent and enforceable, they said no matter which direction you go in, you got to say it, even though it's not relevant for those going from Eretz Yisrael outwards. The other thing that's difficult within the Shitat HaChachamim is the language, which is that according to this part of the Gemara, where we're assuming that the Chachamim argue on the Tana Kama, then the wording of the Chachamim should be af. The way that the Chachamim say it here is as if they're making a new independent statement. Chachamim amin, einu tzarich, shubar na mefanai nechta mefanai etam, ella hamevi mevidinat hayam v'molich. So it says that they only in those cases do you have to say it. Well, that's not a response to the Tana Kama, because the Tana Kama says less than them. So then when they would say it, they would have to say af. The word af would have to be used if they're really arguing on the Tana Kama. Einu mevi, ella seems to be that they're arguing on Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, not on the Tana Kama. So the Gemara will get to that alternative. But at this stage in the Gemara, the language of the Chachamim doesn't seem to fit as well as what the Gemara is trying to say here, that they're arguing on the Tana Kama, because their statement does not seem to reference the Tana Kama because of the way that they phrased it. It should have been af if they wanted to argue on the Tana Kama versus einu mevi ella, which seems to be that they're reducing the number of places that have to do it versus adding the number of places that are doing it. All right, so now Rova mitaretz the tamei. Rova answers according to Yeshita, the kuliyama, the fisha ein edi mitzuyim the kaimo. Rabbanan batrai, the frushe taima de kama kama hu da'atu. So Rova, who explains it this way, makes more sense that they are coming to explicate on the Tana Kama. That the Tana Kama says you have to say it when you bring it from Medinat Hayam. So the Chachamim come to explain or explicate on that position and say he doesn't mean just when you bring it from Medinat Hayam to Eretz Yisrael. He meant just like when you do it from outside to inside Eretz Yisrael, so too when you go from inside Israel to outside, you also have to do it. And the Chachamim are synonymous with the Tana Kama. And therefore the language that's here is that they are arguing on Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamaliel. And in arguing Rabbi Eliezer and Gamaliel, they're basically saying we are the same as the Tana Kama, but we're just giving you more information about the Tana Kama. So now the Gemara continues in our Mishnah and tries to see from our Mishnah, is there evidence to either side here? It's not. Hamevi get mi medina mi medina mi medinat hayam. Someone who transports a get in medinat hayam from one country to another, tzarich lomar b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. Then you have to make this declaration. Ha ba'ota medina. But if it was intra-country in overseas, then you don't have to do that. The Rova Necha. For Rova, that works really well. Because if the whole issue here is access to Edim, then when you have areas that are close by, even in Medinat Hayam, then it should be exempt from this because there's easy access to the Edim. The Rabba Kasha, on the other hand, for Rabba, it's difficult because, according to Rabba, in Medinat Hayam, they don't know Lishma. Doesn't matter if you're transporting it from there to Eretz Yisrael, or if you're transporting it in between two areas within Medinat Hayam, you still need b'fanai nechtav v'nechtam, because they don't know the din of Lishma well enough. And so therefore you need to say it there, and that would be a problem for Rabba. Lo teima, don't make the deal this way. Ha ba'otom medina b'medinat Hayam lo tzarich. Don't say that the deal is, oh, from country to country overseas you need to say it, implying that intra-country you do not need to say it. That's not true, don't make that deal. Ella, the diok is, when you are moving from country to country in Chutz La'aretz, you need to say it. But if you do that within Eretz Yisrael, then you don't have to say it. And within Eretz Yisrael, like Medina means from Yehuda to the Galil to Eber Yardin, those are distinct areas within Eretz Yisrael that are considered to be separate Medinot. So within Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to do that. Now, that would be supportive of Rabbah's position, because Rabbah believes within Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't matter where you're transporting it intra Eretz Yisrael, because they are Bekiyin Lishma. Whereas overseas, that is a problem. And so therefore, that's why it made such a diuk or distinction. The Gemara says, that's an interesting diuk, but the Mishnah states it explicitly. Why do I need a diuk? And the Mishnah is going to explain it. Habahedjuk Tonila. It says explicitly in the Mishnah, maybe get Eretz Yisrael, and it's a richlomar b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. So I don't need you to tell me that from a diuk. It's explicitly stated in the Mishnah. Gemara says, no, ima'ai, if you only had the diuk, havamina ani mili diavad. That's only true be diavad within Eretz Yisrael, you don't need to say it. Aval chatchila lo. But the chatchila, you should say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam, even within Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah comes and repeats it to say, kamash malan, lechatchila, you do not need to say it in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why you have both the diuk and the statement of the Mishnah to tell you not only is it b'diavad kasher, but even lechatchila, it is kasher. That's the way Rashi explains it. But the Balei HaTosafot think that that is problematic because lashon of tzarich in the Mishnah is a lashon of lechatchila. And therefore, how could you make a diuk out of a statement in the Mishnah that uses the word tzarich and say that was only b'diavad? So that doesn't make sense. And therefore, the Balei HaTosafot give two other alternatives as to what the diuk would have been that would have made you think that it's only b'diavad, and why the extraneous language in our Mishnah then makes it that it is l'chatchila, which is v'od nira d'ri, t'hachi perusha hani mili di'avad, shalo ra'a k'tibat get v'chatimato. That even if you didn't see the get being written and signed, t'yachol itno la be'eretz Yisrael. That within Eretz Yisrael you could give it, aval l'chatchila atzerich shirek k'tibat get v'chatimato. But l'chatchila you should have seen the k'tiva and the chatima, k'dei shuchol umark, so that you can say, b'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtam. Kamash Malan, that you don't need that at all. And the Kamash Malan is that you don't even have to see it, or you shouldn't have to see it. U'b'ninet adam, im lo rektiva k'tiyat aget chamito, en yachol avio. On the other hand, in overseas, if you didn't see the writing or the signing of the get, you can't bring it whatsoever. And if you bring it and give it, you would have thought maybe it is kasher. If it were not for the Mishnah in Perek Bet, between the two of those, you see that number one, in Eretz Yisrael, you don't even have to lechatchila see it being written and signed. And in Chutz La'aretz, if you didn't see it and you didn't see it signed, even if you bring it, we will not b'diavad verify or validate the get, because you need to see the k'tiva and the chatima. And that's the difference between the b'diavad and the chatchila, according to this one teretz in Tosfot. The other teretz in the Tosfot, which is answer given by most of the other Rishonim, is that Deino Tzarich over here means that had he given the get without saying b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam, that it would be good b'diavad. And then Mishnah further on, which tells us that you have to then take it back and give it, teaches us that chatchila, you have to take it back and say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. And that is the b'diavad and the chatchila over here. So that's the havamina from the Mishnah further on, is that you need to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam, and you need to take the get back and give it, saying b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. The conclusion from our Mishnah that it was a good get, and you chatchila wouldn't have to go back and re-give it, saying b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. Tosafot challenges that explanation, and that's why he brings the alternate explanation that we said before from the Ri. V'ika demotiv lahochi. Some structure the question this way by making a question on Rava instead of Rava, which is ha maybe dinam dinam b'Eretz Yisrael lo tzarich. That the diuk is like the second way we read the diuk, which is overseas, when you go medina medina, you have to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam, implying that within Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say it. Now that is the Rabba Necha. That works well for Rabba, because intra Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows lishma, and therefore from medina medina is not a problem. Overseas, they don't know lishma, so then from medina medina is a problem. The Rava Kasha, for Rava, that's a difficulty. For Rava, within Eretz Yisrael, going from Medina Medina, you have to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. Rashi does note over here that the Gemara doesn't even have to ask the question on Rava from a diuk in the Reisha. It could ask him from, as it says it explicitly in the Seifa, that maybe get b'Eretz Yisrael and tzarich, because Rava could reinterpret that to mean that intra Medina is fine in Eretz Yisrael, then it's not true in Medina Tayam. And that would be a problem for Rava, because Rava believes intra-Medina, even overseas, is fine. And so whether it's a deal, kind of the ratio of the Sefer, that's where the problem for Rova arises. So therefore, the only way to question Rova is either from a deal of the ratio or a deal of the Sefer. So once you have a deal from the ratio of the Sefer, you're better off just taking the deal out of the ratio. And that's why the Gemara words the question in this manner. Gemara says, Lo teima mimidina mimidina be'eretz Yisrael lo. Don't read it that way. It's lo tzarich ela'ema. Ha, miyota mimidina mimidina tayam lo tzarich. So what the Gemara says is, don't be midayek, that overseas from Medina, Medina is problematic, but within Eretz Yisrael it's fine. Now the diuk is, from Medina, Medina overseas is problematic, but intra-Medina overseas, that's not a problem, and that's supportive of Rabbi's position. Aval, Medina, Medina, Eretz Yisrael, my. So then what is the din within Eretz Yisrael from Medina, Medina? Tzorich. So then you do have to say it. So Gemara says, litnei amivi Medina, Medina, stam. If that's the case, why doesn't the Mishnah just write, if you bring it from country to country or area to area, that's it. Just write it stam in the Mishnah. Why does it say, that qualifier of Medina Tayyam is not true according to Rava. Doesn't matter if you're Medina Tayyam, doesn't matter if you're Eretz Yisrael. If you're going from Medina Medina, you have to say, b'fanai nechtab, b'fanai nechtam. So then why does the Mishnah say, from Medina Tayyam? It should have just said, Medina Medina, you have to say it. Because for Rava, that's true both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. Where it says, Olam Medina Medina Be'eretz Yisrael Nami Lo Tzarich. Now Rava agrees, within Eretz Yisrael you don't need to say it. The Kevan Dike Ola Regalim Mishkach Shchiche. Because they are, people are Ola Regel, there's always heavy traffic between the different Medinot in Eretz Yisrael. Because people are traveling to the Mikdash. And in traveling to the Mikdash, they cross through these different regions. So where it says, Tinach Bezvan Shebet Mikdash Kayam. That works well when the Beit HaMikdash is extant. When there is no Beit HaMikdash, you don't have all the regalim, then why is there traffic flowing over here? It says, Kevan de'ika bate dinim de'kviye, because you have these large courts that are set up, mishkach shchiche, they are readily available for transporting and for traffic between these areas, and it's easy to gain access to the edim. As Rashi suggests over here, that by Yerot, Takanat Ezra, in the cities based on the Takanat Ezra, that every Monday and Thursday they used to set up these large Batei Dinim. Therefore, there are Shayarot that bring the people back on board to go to the Makom Avad, which are more like these central Batei Dinim, or these higher level Batei Dinim that involve the Gdolei Ador in them. So even though they had Batei Dinim in all the cities, there were these more central Batei Dinim, which were called the Beit Avad, which was considered to be the supreme court in these situations. And in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, it discusses whether parties can compel each other to go to the Beit Avad, even if there is a more local Beit Din. Even though Tosfot points out in other areas of Halacha that we do not say that there's this free flow of traffic between the different areas of Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, in this instance, there is enough traffic that if you intend and you want to get information from the other location, you could get it. Meaning that if we are assuming that information travels and that when people make statements, others will be aware of it, it's as if there is publicity to it, there we will not say that there's a free flow of traffic between the different areas of Eretz Yisrael. Whereas, if you're discussing someone who's trying to get information or trying to locate individuals, there's enough traffic to say that you could be mekayim, the get, even between different areas of Eretz Yisrael. Tnan, Rabban Shimon Gamaliel Omer, afilu mehegmonia lehegmonia. Even if it's between two governorships, or even a city that has two rulers and the city is split in half, an example of this is a city that is in Eretz Yisrael, va'asasiyot shema, and the name of the city was Asasiyot, va'yuba bet agmoniot. There were two rulers or mayors of the city, hayu makpidim zelze. And they used to be makbidding each other, meaning that they did not allow for free access between the two halves of the city. They basically created a border that ran in the middle of the city. The fika chutzruchulomar megmonia the egmonia. And that's why they had to say it from one egmonia to another, from one location to the other. So this, Gemara says, is the Rabba Necha, the Rabba Kasha. That explanation of the reasoning behind Rabba and Shimon Gamaliel makes a lot of sense according to Rabba. Because the whole issue is the free flow of traffic. Then you have a problem here because you have these warring lords or these individuals that have enmity between them. And therefore they are makbid that the two sides do not interact. then that's a problem in terms of verifying or validating the shtar, because you can't get easy access to the people on the other side. And so for Rava, that makes sense that you would have to say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Whereas according to Rava, where the whole thing is lishma, why should it matter about the easy access between the two? All we need to know is that the people on both sides are learned. And when you're in Eretz Yisrael, there is no issue in terms of being learned. Everybody has that status. So over here we have a city, even though it's split between two rulers, it shouldn't matter because lishma should apply to both halves of the city. So even though Rabbi Yitzchak here is an Amora and we're challenging Rabbah from a statement of an Amora, as the Balei Tosafot point out, you don't need Rabbi Yitzchak in order to generate the question. The question exists on Rabbah irrespective of the fact that Rabbi Yitzchak tells us the case was in Eretz Yisrael, because the only way Rabbah can explain that Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is in a case where it's in Eretz Yisrael. And so because of that, the question on Rabbah, irrespective of Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak just strengthens the question because he explicitly says that it was in Eretz Yisrael. Rishonim do ask why the Gemara here thinks that this is a question on Rabbah if we're dealing with a single position with the Mishnah. And all Rabbah has to say is, I don't hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I hold like the Tanakhama or the other positions in the Mishnah. So the answer that from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is clear that he believes that Eidei Kiyum are the main issue here, or that he holds like Rava. On the other hand, the Tanakhama and the other positions of the Mishnah, it's unclear as to what their position is. And it's not muchach or muchrach to say that the other positions believe that it's because of Lishma, not Eidei Kiyum. Therefore, since we have evidence of one Tana who says that it needs Eidei Kiyum, and the other Tanaim, we don't know what they say, it's very hard for Rava to claim, oh, I hold like the other Tanaim, and they say otherwise. Because we don't have any evidence that they say otherwise, and we don't have any evidence that they argue on what is explicitly the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that clearly the issue here is Eidim lekayem et hashtar, and not an issue of Lishma. Gemara now says something that we mentioned already yesterday, which is Rabba itle derabba. In the end, Rabba does agree that Rabba's opinion is true. Meaning that Rabba thinks that it's both because of access for Eidim to verify or validate the get, as well as the issue of Lishma. And both reasons are valid reasons to say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Elamai b'nayu. So now the Gemara says, well, now you have to do a reset. Before, remember, we gave nafkaminot between them. Now, not all of those nafkaminot are going to be true anymore because Rabbah now agrees that access to Eidim is also important. And that means that he's going to agree to Rava in those instances. So then, what are the nafkaminot between them? Ika b'nayu da'achu b'etrei. One of the nafkaminot that's still the same as what was before is if you have two Eidim, bring it from overseas. There we had the Machloket Rashi and Tosafot has to understand that. Rashi says that when the two come, then they are available to question them and to get access to them because they're now over here. And that's the reason that it is a good get and you do not need to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. The Balei Tosafot disagreed and said, who says that the Eidim are going to stick around? They could also leave. But the reason you don't have to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam is because when they come as two Eidim, they have a status of full-fledged Eidut. And when they give full-fledged Eidut, that they're the shlichim of the Baal, now there's not a right to undermine that statement. The Baal himself can't even undermine it because they are full-fledged Eidim testifying to the fact that they had a right from the Baal to bring this get to here. Therefore, you don't have to worry about validating or verifying the get because by the mere fact that these two Eidim testify, that's enough. But that will be a nafkamina now because according to Rava, when the Beit Rei come, you don't need it because it's all about access to Eidim. And either according to Rashi or Tosafot, there's not a necessity for that anymore. Either because Rashi and Eidim are here, or according to Tosafot, you will not need to verify or validate the get anymore. And then for according to Rava, you don't need to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. On the other hand, for Rava, who says that there's also an issue of Lishma, here too there'll be an issue of Lishma because they're bringing it from overseas. And even though two people are bringing it, they're still bringing it from overseas and they will have to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam in order to overcome the problem of Lishma. The other, Inami, b'otam medina b'medinat hayam. Another nafkamina between them is within the same country overseas, if you have an intra-country movement of the get, do you need to say b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam? So again, this is another nafkamina that we mentioned before, but still stands now, because according to Rava, if you're moving it from location to location, that is, within a single country in Medinat Hayam, then you don't need b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam, because there is an easy flow of traffic, and it's easy to validate the get afterwards. According to Rava, anywhere in Medinat Hayam is a problem of Lishma. So even if you're transporting intra-country, or from one location to other location in Medina Tayyam, you would still have to say Bifanai Nechtav Banechtam, because Lishma is still an issue. He agrees that Rova's issue of access is not existing, but we still have the issue of Lishma. So therefore, these two will stand as nafkamino between the position of Rabba, who believes in his position plus Rava's position, versus Rava, who only has his position, and these two will remain a nafkamina between them. Now, when we say that Rabba accepts the position of Rava, from the Tosfot over here, it sounds like he accepts it, but he still maintains some of his independent positions. He doesn't completely accept the Shita of Rava. On the other hand, other Rishonim, like the Ritva, suggest that when Rabba accepts the position of Rava, it means completely and wholly, that Rabba now subscribes completely to this position of Rava and his explanation of the Mishnayot and the reasons for having Bifanai Nechtav, Bifanai Nechtam in all of these instances. Tanan. Hamevi get Midinat Hayam. Veinu yachol omar Bifanai Nechtav uBifanai Nechtam. Some remains a get from overseas, yet he cannot say Bifanai Nechtav, Bifanai Nechtam. If the get has edim, itkayem bechotamav, then they should be able to validate or verify the get based on its signatories. And we asked on that, or we clarified on that, my veino yachol omar. What does that mean that he can't say bifanai nechtav venechtam? Ilam echeresh. If you say that he is mute, he's unable to speak, so he can't say bifanai nechtav venechtam. Cheresh baratuye gitao. Since when is a cheresh someone who can bring a get? Batznan, we have an explicit Mishnah further on in the Masechta. Hakol sherim laviat a get chutz micheresh shoteh v'katan. Everybody is kosher to bring a get with the exception of a cheresh shoteh and katan. Now, this is in the context, as Rashi says over here, delav bnei deyaninu, because they are not people who have the capacity to act in a responsible manner. So this is going with the Gemara's general approach to cheresh, which is the fact that a person is a cheresh, which means, according to the Gemara, both, that he does not speak, ve'inu shomei, and he doesn't hear as well, meaning that he has no capacity to hear or speak. And it's based in their time where someone who did not have the capacity to speak or hear was never taught anything and was never able to learn both the societal norms as well as be educated. And so because of that, they were deemed to be lacking in mental capacities, and were treated like a cheresh shoteh katan. They were treated in that category. And as I mentioned, almost every time we see this, that the modern day poskim make it clear that today the cheresh does not have that same status, because they're clearly educated and they clearly have the full capacity to think and work and be responsible for their items. Now, obviously, in cases where we need them to speak, it's going to be a problem if they can't speak. But in a more general sense, they don't have the status of lav bnei deyanin who, if, again, we can see and it's clear that there is no impediment to their mental capacities, this is just simply a physical impediment that they have. So now the Gemara says that you can't claim here that the problem is that he can't say it because he's a cheresh. If he was a cheresh, he could not be the shliach to bring the get. So that can't be the explanation over here. V'amar Rav Yosef, hachem ha'yaskinan. So Rav Yosef said, I'll tell you what it's speaking about here. Kagon, shenatano la keshu pikeach. He brought the get as a messenger while he was still fully functional. And he didn't have the ability to say until he lost his ability to speak. So here is someone with full mental capacities. He is fully responsible, can bring the get. The problem is, once he got here, he was unable to speak anymore, and he can no longer say, so now again, the Gemara says, L'rova necha, l'rava kasha. For Rava, this is fine. For Rava, it's a problem. Because for Rava, what's the reason we need you to say Bifanai Nechtam, Bifanai Nechtam, is because we need to have a way to validate the get. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that the Mishnah is suggesting that the primary way to validate the get is to say Bifanai Nechtam, Bifanai Nechtam. If that fails because he can't speak, then we have a backup. The backup is to check the Edim. If we check the Edim, we validate the get, we've accomplished the same thing. So you can make the get valid in that manner as well. But for Rabba, that doesn't work. Because according to Rabba, not only is it there for validation of the get, but it's also there to prove to us that the get was done lishma. And that's why you say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. If that's the case over here, when the person can't say it, why does checking out the edim do anything for you? Even if you validate the edim, doesn't mean that the get was written lishma. And therefore, why is that a solution to the problem? The Rishonim over here explain why the Bahavin and Ba is essential to the question that is being posed to Rabbah and not just asking from the Mishnah. No matter what the explanation of the Mishnah is, it's clear from this Mishnah that you can replace b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam ayidei kiyum chatimata edim. And just that mere fact should be a question on Rabbah, even without the explanation or explication on the Mishnah. So the Rishonim give different reasons as to why we need the Havin and Ba, or what that is dispelling in terms of Rabbah's possibility to answer the Mishnah, if it were not for the fact that the Havin and Ba then, on that explication, makes it very clear that the Mishnah is a problem for Rabbah. So, Hacha b'mayiskinan, lachar shalamdu. This case is a case after they also learned overseas about the dinim of gidim. Gemara says, "Yochi yachol nami." So then, why is it that over here it's only in a case where he's unable to say "bifanai nechtam, bifanai nechtam," that we say check out the edim and that would be sufficient? It should be true even if he's able to speak. Even if he's able to speak and he doesn't say "bifanai nechtam, bifanai nechtam," we should still be able to validate to get through its chotamah because we're not worried about the lishma issue anymore. Gemara says, "Gzeira shem yachzer davar lekil kulo." So gzeira, that maybe things will go back to the old way. They're afraid that maybe the people overseas will then not become bikiyim and will have a problem of lishma again. So they left the gzera in place to say that you have to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, even if we have another way to validate the get, because we want this institution in place. So Gemara says, iochi, if that's the case, enu yachol nami. Then in a case where you can't say it, you should also invalidate the get, because we want to keep the gzera in place. The gzera is that anybody who comes from overseas says b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, in case in the future they won't be bikiyim in lishma, so we want to keep the institution in place. So it shouldn't matter whether the person is able to say it or not able to say it. It should just be an institution that if you don't say it, it doesn't work. So Gemara says, pikeach v'nitchareish milta de lo shchicha. The case of a guy who brings it while he's healthy, and then when he gets there, is unable to speak, loses the ability to speak, is a very unusual case. It's a far-fetched case. And milta de lo shchicha lo gozer bu rabbanan. And things that are not common, the rabbanan are not gozer. When we deal with unusual cases, we assume that they're not incorporated in the gzerah, or we assume that chamim don't make gzerot for unusual cases. And that's basically what's happening over here, which is that the gzerah was put in place to say that even though today it's not necessary to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, because they are b'kim lishma, nevertheless, we tell you to do it anyway because we want to preserve that institution in case in the future that the people of Medinat Hayam don't know the rules of lishma. On the other hand, when it comes to this case, this unusual case where the guy brought it and he was healthy and then he lost his ability to speak when he got here, that was not incorporated in this gezerah because it's such an unusual case, the chamim did not institute in that case. So even though the original setup is an institution derabanan, which is that you have to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, and then after it wasn't necessary anymore, they made an additional gzerah to keep it in place. What happened here is that b'milta de lo shchicha, they did not keep it in place, which is that in milta de lo shchicha, the chamim did not extend the gzerah to say that the gzerah now still is in effect for these situations. So yes, normally we would require b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, even though that was originally a gzerah, and then we added on a gzerah, which basically said keep the institution in place because it might happen in the future, we'll need it. But when they extended that gzerah, they only extended it in circumstances that were common or frequent. In infrequent circumstances, they did not institute it. So therefore, it goes to the default, which is if there became lishma, we don't need this b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam anymore. And that's why you have the dispensation of this Mishnah, despite the fact that there is a gzeirah in place telling you have to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, even though the reason is gone. Nevertheless, the gzeirah remains in place. With this piece, they did not keep that or did not incorporate that in the gzeirah because it was such an unusual case. Okay, we're going to stop here 11 lines down on the top of Hey Amud Aleph.